Hello and welcome. We are in Module 3 of Prosperity God's Way. And so I'm excited today because we're going to be talking about more about the principles on how we can really be prosperous according to what God's Word tells us. I love the fact that He has given us an instruction manual in the Bible on how we can prosper, how we can live joyfully, how we can have a great mindset. We were just talking before I started the recording about how wonderful it is to meet every single Monday together and have a new, refreshed, renewed mind each and every Monday, knowing that this week is going to be amazing and watching for how God is going to do amazing things in our lives. Instead of dreading or hating a Monday, this is one of the days we look forward to the most. We've talked so far about different principles that the Lord has in His Word around prosperity. And we talked about the definition of prosperity so far. We talked about putting God first, studying to show ourselves approved, walking in fellowship. We talked about the impact that prayer would have. We're talking about so many different aspects. But today, I want to talk to you a little bit about work. I know you're thinking, work? I don't know if I was coming in for that. Well, this is Becky Speed, the direct sales specialist and the Christian direct seller, and I know that the Lord wants us to use where we work to use us to be ministers in the marketplace. But He also expects for us to do something in order to be prosperous. He, you know, put us on this earth to praise and to worship Him and love and adore Him, but He also gave us some responsibilities around work. And so it tells us in His Word that we need to work heartily as unto Him in order to be prosperous. This is actually my life verse, Colossians 3:23, and it says, whatever you do, so let me just get really clear here. It's whatever you do, meaning everything, right? In whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And I like to keep this focused because I like us to think about, you know, if sometimes I don't necessarily, and I'll just be honest with you, get along with everyone or our personalities aren't a great match. However, there's some people we just click and I could work with them all day long and not even realize I'm working. So sometimes I'm like, I've got this person that I need to work with and I'm not really excited. But if I keep the proper perspective, or maybe we've worked for a boss that we don't really like, or maybe they just don't like us, and we can't do anything that seems to please them. We need to keep the mindset that we're working as unto the Lord. There are literally dozens and dozens of scriptures on working heartily. I'm not going to go into all of them. I'm just going to go over a few of them. The first one is Colossians 3:23 that I spoke about already. Whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We're not working heartily for a company or for a boss or some machine or just for our secular occupation. We really are working heartily as if we're working for the Lord because we're setting that example. Imagine if you were working, and let's just say most of us would prefer, if we're Christians, to work with other Christians. It just makes it a little easier, like we get the same mindset. But a lot of times they have people that will come in or they'll coach or they'll be on different Bible study sessions and they'll say, you know, pray for me because I'm working in a really bad environment, or everybody I work with, they're not saved and it's really hard on me. But think about it this way. You have the opportunity to rise to the top because you've got the favor of God. You know the principles of God, and you know that they work, that God's word is always true. So if He says to do this, you'll get this, you will get promotion. And we know, it tells us in the word, that God is the one that promotes. So if you work according to His principles, even in the most ungodly place, you will rise to the top. And think of the witness that you can be to all of your coworkers as well as to your boss. But it's kind of like a little rabbit trail I went off on. But we're supposed to be working for the Lord in everything we do, whether you scrub toilets or whether you are preaching every week, you still have the same command to work as unto the Lord. If you're working for Jesus Christ, should you be playing on the internet when you're supposed to be working? Should you be talking on the phone? Should you be one of those caught up in gossip or backstabbing or being tardy? Or what about just borrowing a pencil or a pen or office equipment or paper and not returning it? What about calling in sick when you're really not ill? Or any other half-truth that you might tell? Is a half-truth really a half-truth, or is it really a full lie? Would you perform your job differently knowing that your immediate boss was no other than Jesus? Procrastination and laziness are gigantic problems also in our society, and they're a huge problem in direct selling. Think about it if you were working directly for Jesus in your direct selling business. He's given you a greater opportunity than he's given many, many pastors and evangelists, and I don't know if you realize it. Do you realize that pastors and evangelists meet on average a couple of new people every single week? You are invited into people's homes by an acquaintance, usually. You become friends, you can develop relationships, and they've trusted you with inviting usually anywhere between 5 and 12 of the people that they appreciate most in their inner circle. You've been given a huge privilege, and you can do this each and every night. This was part of the reason why I got so addicted to doing parties, because I saw the huge mission field. Every single day I could be sharing the gospel with 10 to 12 people that I may not have ever had the opportunity to meet ever in my life. One year, I led over almost 300. I led 296 people, women for the most part, to the Lord as a result of doing my parties. How exciting is that? But what we do instead many times with our own business is we don't act as if we're working for the Lord. We procrastinate, we become lazy, and these are huge problems with our businesses. I don't feel like making calls. What if they reject me? What if they say no? How dare you not be that vessel for the Lord to go out and be his minister in the marketplace? And I'm not saying you have to be crazy Bible thumping on people. I'm just saying at the cash out table, what I would do is I would say, is there anything that I can pray for you about today? It was an honor to meet you, and I really, really enjoyed spending time with you. Is there anything that I could pray for you today? And then I'd ask them, would you like me to pray with you now, or would you prefer that I call you later or call you tomorrow? Many times I led women to the Lord right there on the spot. It was to the point where I was taking as many tracts and follow-up booklets on what you do once you become saved as I was catalogs to my parties. But what a blessing and what a joy. You know, it tells us in the Word in Proverbs 10, 4 through 5, we become poor that deal with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent make rich. He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. I don't want you to sleep through your harvest. I want you to be sure that you're planting your seeds and that you're diligent. If you look and your team's not doing what it needs to do, or maybe your own personal business isn't where it needs to be, maybe this is an area that you need to step it up. God's expecting you to be faithful. He wants you to be the man or the woman of God that he's called you to be. You know, to procrastinate in the Webster's Dictionary says to put off doing something unpleasant or burdensome until a future time, especially to postpone it habitually. Well, I would have to honestly say that we've all probably been guilty of this at some point or another, and we form habits of postponement. How many times do we even just postpone putting away the papers on our desk, or we touch our mail 5 or 6 times? This is all a waste of time, the precious time that God's given us. So let me ask you, why do you do today, or why don't you do today what you know needs done today? Why do you put it off until tomorrow? God tells us that the hand of the diligent will be rich. If you're diligent with your business, truly and honestly diligent, I promise you, you will be successful. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. So basically what that means is if you'll be diligent, you'll rise up into leadership. If you don't, you'll always be serving and you'll always be struggling. God says that when we work hard and we obey our boss, we'll be promoted to the responsibility and the privilege to oversee other people. The word shall in this verse is an absolute. It's not you might, it's an absolute. God doesn't give us a timeline, but it does say it will absolutely happen. With more responsibility usually becomes, we get a lot more pay, especially in our businesses, right? That's another way to become a very prosperous Christian. Proverbs 12:11 says, hard work means prosperity. Only fools idle away their time. Ouch, right? Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God tells us that we need to make sure that we're not slothful in business, that we are fervent in spirit and that we are serving the Lord. That's one of his commandments for how we live and how we do business. Once again, let's think about who are we serving? Have you guys ever studied the story about the ant and the word? It's in Proverbs 6. I'm going to read it to you. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, and no ruler. So basically, the ant's an entrepreneur, just like us, whether he was in direct selling or he's just an entrepreneur. He doesn't have a commander. He doesn't have an overseer or a ruler. Yet, it stores in provisions in summer and gathers its food all harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Many of us wonder how all of a sudden we get a scarcity mindset. I think it comes from these habits. God is amazing. How he even showed us with the little ants that he doesn't want us to procrastinate. He wants us to be diligent. He wants us to work as if we're working for him and not for another. So I want to encourage you to stop the idle chat. Do your duty as God tells us to. You know, another awesome virtue ants have is that they plan ahead. It tells us, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food in harvest. We all can learn from this. Prosperity does not come from procrastination. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 tells us, indeed, we hear that some among you are disorderly. Don't look at anybody's desk right now. That they are passing their lives in idleness, neglectful of their duty, being busy with other people's affairs instead of their own, and doing no work. I want to repeat this again, because I know that this happens in our profession a great deal, where a lot of times leaders promote up into management, and then all of a sudden they release their own personal business because they're wanting to manage others, and then they have a huge collapse impending on their business. They wonder why in a year they don't have a solid base or they're not growing. I want you to listen to this again. Let me read this again. This is 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Indeed, we hear that some among you are disorderly. So maybe it's that you're not working in an organized fashion. Maybe your office is a little disorganized or whatever. It also could mean that you're not working according to the compensation structure. It says they are passing their lives in idleness, neglectful of duty, being busy with other people's affairs instead of their own, and doing no work. The Lord's very clear about how we can work our businesses and be successful. Have you ever known anybody that was kind of like that, busy with everyone else's affairs instead of their own? That's not part of the formula of being a prosperous Christian. I can guarantee that. Remember, we're not working for the man, the machine, the corporation, or anything else. We're working heartily for the Lord. Now, another principle that the Lord has around prosperity is around believing. You know, throughout the Word of God, we see in operation the most dynamic and powerful law of God, and that's our faith, and it's the law of believing. If we ever are going to become a prosperous Christian, we really have to master this principle. Throughout the New Testament, the word faith is almost always the Greek word pistis. And it literally means to believe. So when we see the word faith many, many times, the Greek translation is believe. Believing is a verb, okay? It's not a noun. It's a verb. And what that means is that it connotates that we are going to have to take action on the part of who? The believer. It's not enough to simply believe God's word. We have to take specific, massive action. James 2:17 tells us, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being alone. So faith without works is dead. Believing without action is dead. First we believe, and then we take action. That's how this works. And believing is simply this. When we believe in our innermost part of our being, our heart, our spirit man, we receive it. The minute we ask for it, if we believe it, we receive it. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, that's not true because I believed for something and it didn't show up instantly. Well, and you might even say, well, that sounds too easy to be true. But it is true because it's the Word of God. We never rise beyond where our believing takes us. We never rise beyond where we truly believe. This applies in every realm of our life, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual. We have to expect positive results and then act on our positive believing. Jesus explains it really clear in Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whatever you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's the big part. We have to not doubt in our heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he asks. So notice that Christ states that we are not to doubt. Where? In our hearts, that secret place. We can say all we want out loud with our mouth, but if in the secret place we're still doubting or we have unbelief, we're only going to get where our level of, our measure of belief is. This is a really important figure of speech because it means the innermost part of our being. It's what truly, truly makes us. You know, this is a pretty remarkable statement. When we say in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's where all of our life stems, right? Because that's where our belief is or our belief barriers. It's abundantly clear to see that true believing emanates from our heart, the innermost part of our being. If you flood your heart with God's word and you act on his word, expecting positive results, praising and worshiping the Lord after you've asked for it, believing that you are receiving it, you will then receive your answers to prayer, and they'll manifest more abundant things in your life. The more you renew your mind to God's word, the more you're going to build your believing. We're told that in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more of the word of God that you know and you apply, the greater will be your believing. The greater you believe, the greater your prosperity will take place. You know, a lot of us feel like we have had setbacks, and you might even be in a setback in life right now. But I don't want you to sit back in your setback. I want you to partner with God for your comeback. And he's telling you exactly by doing these principles that you will have that. Now, next week, we've got just a couple of more principles on prospering God's way, and I'm excited to share the last three with you starting next week, but I want to go to the Lord in prayer and pray for you and pray for your businesses today because I just really feel that's so, so important. You know, we need to keep in mind that God is the one that promotes us. He loves us, but he wants us to make sure that we are doing, especially the things we talked about today, working heartily as unto him, renewing our minds, being faithful and believing with all of our heart that what we ask for, he's going to give us. Does anybody else have a prayer request or a praise report before we go to the Lord? I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody just real quick. I know there was some background noise, but I want to unmute in case you have a prayer request. Does anybody have a prayer request today?
Becky, I do. This is Juanita. I do.
Yes.
Just for direction.
Okay.
For direction. I am looking, I have some options, and I'm just praying for direction.
Okay, perfect. You've got it. Anybody else have a prayer request or a praise report?
Becky?
Yes.
This is Lene.
Hi.
Would you just put me in for diligence, please?
Yes. For sure. Anybody
Thanks.
Else? Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to go ahead And I'm going to mute everyone again, and then I'll start the prayer. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you and I come into your presence with thanksgiving and with praise because you are amazing. You love us so much. Lord, I thank you for the men and the women who are on the call today, Lord. I praise you that their lives will never be the same. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that you love us so much that even if we mess up, you're still loving us. You couldn't love us any more than what you love us right this moment. And Lord, I love you that you've given us your instruction book, the Bible, and that you've cared so much in it that you've told us exactly what we need to do to be prosperous. And Lord, right now I just come to you and I ask forgiveness on behalf of all of those that are listening as well as myself for any time that I was walking in procrastination or I didn't honor and work for you the way that I should have. Lord, if I've told a half-truth or I've taken anything from where I've worked or if I've just not been, you know, on time, if I was tardy or if I maybe called in when I wasn't truly sick or I just didn't work my hardest at my business, knowing that that's what you want and you expect is our best, Lord, I want to serve you with excellence and with greatest integrity. And Lord, whether we're working for ourselves or we're working for someone else or a business or a boss, Lord, I pray that we could stand before you with clean hearts and clean hands, that we could truly say that whatever we are doing, we're working heartily with our whole hearts as unto you and not just as unto men, but we're serving our boss as well. Lord, forgive us if there's been any times of gossip or backstabbing or working on everyone else's business instead of what you've given us to do, or playing on the internet or surfing the web when we had no business doing that, Lord. Help us to be diligent. Help us to have that clear direction as to what you would have for our lives and our business, Lord. Lord, I do ask in Jesus' name that you would just forgive us for our procrastination, Lord, that many times we said, we'll just put it off and do it tomorrow, or we don't feel like talking to someone or asking if we can pray for someone or telling them about you. We ask forgiveness about this, Lord, because we know that you have placed us in this incredible gift of our business. Lord, that we could be that entrepreneur that's making a difference, that's the minister in the marketplace, that's the light and the salt to a dying and a hurting world, Lord. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to be bold in our spirit, that favor would go out before each and every one of us. You tell us in your word that you are the one that promotes, Lord, and so we thank you for promotions. Lord, that reminds me of Megan's prayer request today, Lord. You know that there's an internship there at her church for a youth pastor, Lord, and I just pray that you will just help her to step into her calling. Lord, help her to go and explore and send favor before her as she goes and she speaks to those that are on the committees, Lord, or the other pastors that are maybe doing the interviewing. Lord, I pray that you would help her to see her gifting and that, Lord, you would just give her a fresh anointing as she steps into this, Lord. We praise you for that. And, Lord, we just ask that you would help our faith to rise. We know that the only way that that happens is, according to your word, is to read your word and hear your word. Lord, help us to read our word out loud so we could hear your word, not just hearing it in our minds, but hearing it with our voices, Lord, and that our faith would rise. And we would never doubt again you or your word when you tell us in your word that you will do what you tell us you will do and you give us your instructions. And we obey those, Lord. And we ask, you tell us that any mountain in our life, regardless of what it is, whether it's direction or procrastination or confusion or not really certain if we're with the right company and we waffle back and forth, or maybe it's managing or learning new skills, Lord, whatever it is for any of us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, we speak to that mountain, we say, move. I am on purpose to serve my King and my Lord. And, Lord, that we would believe that that mountain would move and never, ever doubt again. Lord, forgive us for our doubt and our unbelief. We know that you can work when our faith is put into action, Lord. So we want to rise up in faith. I call forth faith in each one of these brothers and sisters. Rise up and accept your call. We rebuke that procrastination. We rebuke that spirit of slothfulness. We rebuke that fear in Jesus' name. There's no reason to fear reaching out to another one of God's children. Help us to be your light and your salt. Lord, I also pray for Simeon, Lord, that she could find peace and harmony in everything that she does. We thank you. Are so thankful for her thankful spirit, Lord. And you know, Juanita's seeking you for direction. And Lord, we know that your peace that goes beyond all understanding is how we hear your word. We read your word, we pray, we worship. But when we have that peace that goes beyond all understanding in our spirit, man, we know, Lord, that that's where you would want for us to be. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the ability to work heartily for you. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't just given us a spirit of fear or doubt in this world. You've given us the ability to conquer and overcome those things. Those are not even things we need to concern ourselves with. We need to be about our Father's business, and I praise you and I thank you for that. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each and every person as they go in and they go out, that they would have your word in their ears and on their lips, that they would walk in a manifested abundance. Lord, that you are the Lord of all, and that you own the cattle on a thousand hills, and will be prospering and promoting each and every person. Help us to do our part and be diligent, to work heartily as unto you and obey your commandments. We love you and we praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. If you have more prayer requests, you can always take them over to the Facebook page, The Christian Direct Seller, and join us. Invite others to join us next week. God bless you. Bye now.